Appointment with Fear. This is your storyteller, the man in black. Here again to bring you another placid evening in our Farside series, Appointment with Fear. Loss of memory, the eerie darkness which closes down on the brain, is a subject which has often amused me, and that is why I have brought a guest tonight, Dr. Gideon Fell, the celebrated schoolmaster turned detective, to tell you about the Barton case. There sits Dr. Fell himself, all 20 stone of him, with his four chins, his bandit's moustache, his eyeglasses on the broad black ribbon, his face fiery with controversy. And when he tells you about the Barton case, as he told it to me, we trust we shall keep our promise to bring you an appointment with fear. The Clock Strikes 8 by John Dixon Carr. Produced by Martin C. Webster.
Hello, shortwave fans, and welcome to episode 15 of the UVB 76 and Number Stations podcast. I'm Web Weasel, your host, and tonight I have with me members from the Prion team, Danix.
Hello, everyone.
Grasp.
Привет.
And we also have two of our new members, Peter.
Hello, guys.
And Toto. Okay, it's been a really packed couple of weeks since we last did a podcast. We have so much to cover, it's unreal, so I'm just going to get on with it. First up, G11 has discontinued. Danix, do you want to talk about this?
Well, G11's last broadcast was on January 28th this year. It was a null message. And this station's background is this. It was the first Polish intelligence voice station. It was soon followed by the original S11, which broadcasted in Polish. 11 and S11A came up later on, and it has been broadcasting since the late 70s, making it one of the longest still-running number stations. However, it was off-air from 1998 until 2007, and so it's not really that long in terms of years. And historically, it used a very ridiculous voice, which they replaced around 1988 to 1995 with the current one. You can hear it on the current project. And it started dropping schedules in mid-January, like the Friday-Saturday one could not be heard starting the week 2 of January. And in February, we didn't hear any schedules at all. So it has disappeared.
Okay, it says some here in the script, Danix, that the remaining Polish intel stations have gained some new schedules using similar IDs to G11s.
Yeah, I don't know if this is for real, but a new S11A schedule has since come up that uses the ID 370, a similar ID to the old G11 ID 270, and an 11 schedule that uses the ID 262. Identical one to one of the old G11 IDs. I don't know what's the significance of this.
Okay, so it's possible that they're a replacement and it could be completely unrelated. It's interesting, but we'll have to keep listening, because if G11 disappeared for such a long time and then came back, it could always come back again in the future. So this one, you never know if she's ever going to come back. Okay, moving on from that. The most important thing that's gone on recently is the explosion in the number of Russian number stations and military broadcasts that have been going on. We're guessing, of course, this is related to the current events in the Crimea and the Ukraine, what with there being, sort of, but not quite, a Russian invasion of the Crimea. Anyway, this means that we've had a whole bunch of extra broadcasts and rare stations heard. So According to what we have written down here, we've heard 5 EO6A messages. We've had 5 SO6B broadcasts on March the 4th, 2014. 5 on one day alone, it says here. We've also heard S25A and SO6C. So I'll play a couple of samples for you.
1 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0
S6B, an S25A, and an SO6C. All of these are rare stations that have only been heard a very few times. They're variants of normal stations, as you'd understand, EO6, EO6A. It's a variant of that station. It's very unusual to hear these at all. Many of these have not been heard since. An example, the kind of events that kicked them off is the Moscow coup attempt in the 1990s. Interestingly, this has led on to a very interesting transmission we heard, what has now been classified by Enigma temporarily as E907B. We were doing our usual cruising around on the shortwave bands, listening out for stations the other night. In fact, I need to check the date on this one, so that's on the 5th. Okay, so on the 5th of March at roughly 10 to 8 in the evening, a very strong, powerful carrier came up. So strong that the hum of the carrier was bleeding into the upper sideband if you listened to it in upper sideband mode. And this obviously caught everyone's attention, and we started listening, and up came the voice of EO6, and we thought it was EO6 to start with. And it started reading out various numbers, say 123, 123. I'll play a sample of that bit for you now.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1.
But then surprisingly, we got a 4-digit ID. Again, I'll play this now.
4, 7, 2, 6. 2, 4. 4, 7, 2, 6. 2, 4.
And the end of the message was 6 zeros in 2 sets of 3s, and I'll play that now.
0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0.
Now, this is how EO7, the sister station of EO6, tends to use its send its messages is that format. EO6 doesn't use this format. During its broadcast, EO6 repeats its groups, so you'll hear each group twice during the transmission. In this particular broadcast, it didn't, and EO7, that's its classic behavior, it doesn't repeat the groups during its transmission. So what we've got is EO7 or EO7A with EO6's voice. Again, something very unusual to hear. Now, this carried on broadcasting for over 2 hours. It broadcasted a total of, what have we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4 different messages. Each time it attempted to broadcast one of these messages, it would have an interruption or a failure, and it would stop halfway through and then have to start again. So this 2 hours in total was a very interesting listen for all of us. Not only are we hearing EO6 behaving like EO7, but also it seems like some kind of test transmission from the behavior of the failures halfway through messages, the carrier going on and off several times, and the fact that the number groups were 1, 2, 3 and the 4, 5, 6 for the IDs, which does suggest it's some kind of test rather than any kind of serious broadcast. However, I did have a chat with Ari from Numbers and Oddities, and I had a chat with Paul from Enigma 2000. They were both very interested to hear what Priam had captured that evening, and they have both decided that these were probably not test transmissions, but actually serious broadcasts with intentional messages, were probably related to the Russian activity in the Crimea at the moment. As a result, Enigma 2000 have currently temporarily designated the station E907B.
By the way, this broadcast wasn't exactly EO7A, since it started with a 3-figure group in the call-up. EO7A does a 5-figure group in the call-up, so it went 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, the number of messages, and then 4, 5, 6, unlike EO7A, which would go 5 figures there.
So, to celebrate 2014, we have temporarily a brand new number station.
And that on top of the new Morse station, currently designated temporarily M901. It's quite, you know, a good thing to people like us who have, you know, witnessed the death of the majority of the number stations anyway over the last several years. And now we're getting new things that we've not seen before or not seen in the past. It's quite a good omen for us anyway.
Changing times are changing indeed.
Yeah, that's right, and it's good to see that number stations are still very much part of the ongoing times, so that's good news anyway.
Yeah, but this has only affected the Russian stations so far. The Polish intelligence ones, E11, S11A and MO3, has stayed on the same schedule. Nothing has changed.
Yep, which shows, you know, at least the people, the departments of the agency operating E11 and its sister stations clearly don't really have anything to do with this whole Crimea thing at the moment. At least not as far as the need to broadcast about it goes.
Well, yep. Poland's been a member of the EU for a long time now. I mean, hopefully they would have switched sides from the Soviet side many, many, many years ago.
Well, indeed, but I mean, that it doesn't seem that those particular spies are getting involved in any way on either side.
Yep.
Even the group counts are the same. That is 30 to 40.
Exactly.
Okay, but yeah, nice way to start 2014. We get into March and we've got a brand new number station. So we've got a couple of brand new number stations as well as losing G11. So win some, lose some.
Yep, the fact that S25A has returned as well, that's so out of the blue. I mean, I saw that coming less so than I saw new number stations coming. So that's another really big thing that's happened in the very short time we've spent in this year already.
Well, I don't know if it's really S25A, but it's very similar to that one.
Yeah, well, like I was saying earlier on today in the IRC, I don't really, know that it's S25A, but yeah, it's sweet to see new formats and things at least.
It's certainly been keeping us on our toes for the last week or so. I mean, it's been at the point where you've been tuning around on shortwave and you know your regular schedules when stations are going to come up, but this is a great time for just jumping around, because you never know what's going to be coming up unexpectedly off schedule with a brand new message or slightly different format type or whatever. It's a really good time to be the number station hunting.
Yeah, indeed. And that's the biggest joy of it all, is when you just, you know, frequency surfing and you come across a number station or similar transmission. That's, it's much more fun than just, you know, dialing into a frequency where you know what's going to happen, what it's going to sound like. It brings a lot of the fun back, definitely.
Well, unless that station has a failure.
Well, yeah, there are obviously exceptions, but still, finding them just of your own volition when it's a new schedule or station or format is always the most fun part, for me at least.
Speaking of which, the buzzer had another failure earlier today.
Yeah, I recorded that one.
Okay, well, we got so much to cover, we're going to have to move on. I'd love to talk for ages about what's going on in the Crimea and what these stations actually mean, but it'd probably just be, you know, let's move on.
Right, on the squeaky wheel, we've seen some interesting transmissions on February the 4th. Instead of giving its normal messages, which it uses the group call sign Alpha 45, before it gives the whole buzzer-style type message, we had, let's have a look, five different messages where, instead of starting with the call sign, they started with Glia, like they were going to, you know, give the Glia kind of message. A message started Glia Yachta 94 Nivka 26, which are normal call signs, but then it went on to give a message in the whole buzzer format, which is interesting because it's only giving them to those two particular groups rather than the full network that it normally does. So two more of these messages came, only for Yachta 94, and then another two messages came, but the call sign format changed into four single letters, just like we see with the buzzer's call sign and like we always see with the PIP. It gave a message for Shuka, Vasily, Anna, Fyodor, and then it gave another message for the same call sign and also M7KS. Now, M7KS is a call sign that the PIP normally gives traffic for. You can see it in the Glia messages. That's one of their regular call signs. So what we're seeing here is the wheel, which we already were pretty damn sure is connected to the PIP. We're seeing the wheel giving traffic for a PIP call sign, which is, you know, 100% evidence, as far as I'm concerned, that they're of the same overall network. What confuses me, though, is why the wheel's giving traffic for that call sign instead of the PIP, when it's normally the PIP's duty, under normal protocol, to do so. So that was really interesting.
I can bring my thought here, because everybody knows that military units can be moved from one area to another, and their call signs, of course, will be the same. And in case of some trainings or some other movings, they can be used from different networks. The wheel is known as previously as a network for the Leningrad military district. Now it is a part of the Western military district of Russia. So it is serving, I think, I'm not sure, but I think the central or the north part of Western military district of Russia. So normal call signs like Nevka 26 and Yachta 94 and so on, they are used for the local military units located in the area of Western military districts. But for those who are coming for trainings, for example, some aviation units or something, they can use those four signs, call signs, which are used in other military districts.
Ah, see, that makes perfect sense. I hadn't even thought of the fact, you know, the units can be on the move and will be for different trainings. Excellent.
Another thought is, or actually addition, is that Alpha 45 is a circular call sign for the whole area for which this wheel station is transmitting. The same is for the PIP. 8 Semyon 1 Shuka is a call sign for the whole South military districts of Russia. So those other four letters call signs can be, for example, for temporary military units which are like compiled for, from some other units, for example. That is very common practice in a Russian radio telephony.
Well, see, that does work, but then you've got this call sign, Mikhail Semyork Konstantin Semyon. That's been a call sign that the PIP asks for reception in Glia message. It's asked for that call sign for years now, so it's a permanent call sign. But again, it's likely just a single unit. But in that case, oh wait, no, never mind. I don't need to say that. But yeah, that's a permanent call sign anyway.
Those Glia messages, I have a little bit about those. Those are very, very old tradition from those networks which didn't have powerful transmitters and have frequencies like the PIP and the wheel. Previously, they were using three digits call signs for sending the transmission test messages or so-called Glia messages. Now they are using those call signs which are regular in those military districts for which particular networks are serving for. So, for example, if Will is sending Glia message in a format Glia Nevka 94 and so on, that means that those units have to call back through the telephone network or through the smaller radio network and tell what the reception of those test messages.
Yeah, that's right. We've always known that as the function of those the test messages, as we call them, Glia messages. What we've always wanted to find, but have never found so far, is indeed the return call for the unit to tell the master of the network how well they received, you know, the transmission. But as you say, it's likely it's done by a different form. It could be done by the landline phone, for example, to report the reception. So we've never found that. Hopefully one day we will find it on the shortwave, but indeed I don't think it's on shortwave radio that those stations reply.
As far as I know, those are usually using those phone lines, not the radio networks.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. So that's what we've had on S32 on its own. We've also had the S30 and S32 Olympics message. Do you want to talk about this one, Peter?
Yeah, that is actually explaining very good the purpose of those networks as well, because in Russian terminology they are called сети централизованного боевого управления, or in English, the centralized command network system. So in case of some alarm or in case of some event, they are used to send the general command to all those units which are receiving the signal.
Exactly, and this was the message dictating dictating the restriction of the use of forces for the day, because the Olympics was starting. Directly translated, it's restrict the use of forces for today. Massive move of techniques due to the start of opening of the Olympics. And this was a message on the PIP and wheel frequency by their respective networks. PIP calling for Voisin Semyona Dinshuka, wheel calling for Alpha Soropiet. We can insert a recording here as well.
На сегодня ограничить применение войск и массовый выход техники в связи с началом открытия Олимпийских игр.
Альфа-45. На сегодня ограничить применение войск. Массовый выход техники в связи с началом открытия Олимпийских игр. На сегодня ограничить применение войск, массовый выход техники в связи с началом открытия Олимпийских игр. Альфа 45. Альфа 45. На сегодня ограничить применение войск. Массовый выход техники в связи с началом открытия Олимпийских игр. На сегодня ограничить применение войск. Массовый выход техники в связи с началом открытия Олимпийских игр. Прием.
Yeah, and the again is very simple. That is because the PEEP is used for the South Military District, where Sochi is located, actually, and the wheel is believed to be used for the western, for the part of Western Military District, and maybe for a very popular area where Western visitors, for example, are landing. Airports, railways, etc.
Yeah, well, I've always, well, I say always, I've previously heard that the wheel supposedly covers, the area that the wheel supposedly covers includes St. Petersburg. Do you think that's probably, you know, the right area, sort of northwest?
Maybe before, but not anymore, because the signal of the wheel is very, very weak, St. Petersburg area. So it is a little bit more stronger in the north. For example, near the border with Russia in Yuensu, it's quite strong. So I think maybe it is for serving the northern part of Western Military District. Murmansk, north of the St. Petersburg and so on.
Well, the strongest I've found the wheel to be, and this is during the day and the night, good signal, is on an SDR someone kindly has publicly available online, an SDR based in Ryazan. That has the best wheel. Whereabouts is Ryazan? If I understand, it's in Moskovsky Oblast?
Yes, that is correct, and actually... cannot know for sure the location, because the whole system has been changed in 2010 due to the military district reform, and also the radio network have been changed according to that reform. So we don't know for sure how is the new system organized.
That's quite fantastic, because it was that change in 2010 which made all the changes on the buzzer at the time, which was the reason that Prium was founded in the first place.
Yeah, so we're seeing things come full circle.
But yeah, I think listening through that, I've learned a huge amount already, and I'm sure there's more to talk about in a sec. But just to sum up what we've discussed so far, basically, the announcements that were sent for the Olympics more or less confirm that the two call signs, 8S1 SHCH and Alpha 45 on the wheel and the PIP, are in fact global call signs, as it were. It means this order to all the units in the area.
Yep, which we pretty much knew anyway.
Those are so-called circular call signs in Russian terminology. So all units will get the message and know for sure that is concerning them as well.
Yep, full networks, just like MDRB. But that's basically it for S30 and S32. We've covered the Olympics. We've covered the crossing of call signs and traffic, so we can move on. The next one is Lavet 41 and Katok 65, if you want to take that, Peter.
Yeah, a little bit info about that. That attack, that is actually known from the radio scanner forum. So the reason why Lavet 41 was not known in the Western world is because it's so far. It's located in the central of Russia, and it is believed to be serving central military unit with the general staff in Yekaterinburg. and that's why it's so weak in Central Europe, for example. But it's okay during the night time, but during the night time there is no message, yes, of course. And, I've monitored that a little bit for a while, and of course it was the part of those other networks when the buzzer, for example, has sent some message, other networks were also sending some messages, for example, the PEEP, the wheel, the Plavit Sorokin in the same time. So definitely that is like the same kind of network, but for the different military district. Katok 65 is quite a new founding for me. It seems to be the same kind of network, but for the smaller area. I think it's the other part of Western military districts. At least it seems to be like that. But what is very strange with that station, that it is sending messages in a dedicated time, almost always. So you know for sure that when you are monitoring the frequency on that time, there maybe will be the message.
Yeah, which is interesting, because with Wheel and PIP, you see schedules for the test messages, not for the real messages. You don't see any scheduling at all with the buzzer. And 6930, Katok-65, you can actually sometimes hear the buzzer bleeding through in the background of the frequency. It's not a harmonic or a spurious transmission. 6930 and 4625 networks, so buzzer and Katok-65, are both directly connected. Katok listens to the buzzer and gives messages afterwards in certain situations. We've actually found it doing so.
Another possible explanation for that is that the messages often are coming from the receiving side, not from the transmission side. And on the receiving side, those operators are monitoring all the networks, not only the buzzer. For example, the PEEP, the wheel, they are all monitoring the receiving side. And when they are sending some message, it is fully possible that some of those stations are sounding behind them.
Yep, we've heard the pip in the background of a squeaky wheel message before as well, so it's definitely commonplace.
That's actually worth a bit more of a mention than that, rather than just sort of an odd throwaway comment. Because this has been heard and spoke about on the internet so much and has caused so much speculation and, you know, been famous on Wikipedia and so on. These background sounds of people working, people talking, the leaked telephone conversations and hearing the buzzer and so on and other stations being broadcast on stations like S6930, it's caused a lot of speculation. And simply what we've got, as Peter's just explained it, is you've got a group of operators sitting in a room. They're all monitoring all the stations at the same time, the PIP, the wheel, and so on. They're monitoring it through open speakers, and they're also sending messages from the same room. And quite simply, they're getting on the mic, and the guy who's listening to the buzzer has got his speakers up too loud.
Yeah, that's almost exactly how me and Takana used to picture it when Takana was around, and we'd discuss it around the time of the buzzer primer and the PIP dossier being written. That's how we always used to view it. It's like, you know, there are these large communication centres where you've got all the stations, or, you know, a good group of them anyway, in one place.
There is also the fact that, for example, for the PEEP, I know for sure that there is three possible locations where they can transmit. One is the general staff of South Military District with the microphone and the PEEP generator there. Another side is the receiving side, where also the generator and the microphone. And the third side is the backup location in Aksai, which also contains the PEEP generator and the microphone.
Okay, that's fantastic, because that also confirms what we thought about the buzzer for a long time, is which there's multiple broadcast sites of the buzzer, because we've heard those out of phase broadcasts and the weaker buzzer at different times. So knowing that the PIP has three different broadcast locations will confirm, you know, the same operation style for the buzzer, and we can more or less confirm without being 100% sure that the buzzer operates in the same way with multiple broadcast locations.
Or even the mobile locations, because there is fully possible to send the signal through the radio link to some transmission center.
Okay, which gets us on nicely to our next bit of the script. The recent telephone conversation you caught with Vulcan on the buzzer.
Yeah, there was a for the buzzer transmission site. Actually, that was a very funny case, because me and another Prime guy, we have recorded that simultaneously from different SDRs. I was recorded that from Nakhabino, and the other guy was recorded that from St. Petersburg. And the signal was completely different. In St. Petersburg location, the channel marker was in the full power, and the telephone conversation was very, very weak on the background. On my location in Nakhabino, the situation was just opposite. The conversation was very powerful, and the channel marker signal was very, very weak. But the conversation itself explains again that buzzer might have two transmission sites, like because it has to cover the whole Western military district. So one of those transmission sites may be located near St. Petersburg, and another one is somewhere near Moscow or somewhere there. So the woman in that conversation was calling Vulcan Communication Center, which is known to be somewhere in St. Petersburg or near that, and asking that other operator to help her to identify the problem, why they don't win the signal at all. And they were talking about what is the channel which is used to send the signal, and so on and so on. And that conversation was by mistake sent to the radio transmitter. That is the same mistake they were done in back in 2011, as I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think we've overall caught four or five different leaked phone conversations, quite often with Vulcan. I think Vulcan's a very recurring theme when these accidental broadcasts happen.
But anyway, that is confirming also that they have like multiple transmission sites because of the large territory, and that cannot be covered even with the powerful transmitters during the daytime. But they have to ensure that the coverage is enough to reach all military units in the area.
Just to put a final word on the whole Vulcan thing as well,
I mentioned this in a previous podcast, one or two ago, I believe, about catching a network check with the central station Iskra 32, and we'd found Iskra to be a call sign relating to the buzzer itself, as we found in their journal from Bavrovo. Vulkan 38 is often called for in the net checks by Iskra 32, so that's again contact between the buzzer and the Vulkan unit, simply in a different way.
I remember the Vulkan unit being mentioned in the November 11, 2010 phone leak.
Yeah, it was Vulkan Surak and Vulkan 30 and 29.
From my understanding, the Vulkan sign is like a generic call sign of the whole transmission site. I have seen the discussion in a radio scanner where the people have discussed that to be 69th transmission center near the St. Petersburg. And the Vulkan is call sign for that. Iskra is the call sign for some transmission center in Moscow.
So next up, it says a bear above it. I don't know if anyone else heard this GO6 message with double voice.
I've had a listen to it. It's not quite a double voice. It's more, it's got the timing all wrong. So we'll just play a quick sample for you now.
Neugen. Fünf, sechs, sieben, acht, neugen. Fünf, sechs, sieben, acht, neugen. Fünf, null, sieben, eins, acht, zwei, neun, drei, vier. Fünf, 5 0 7 8 9 2 0 3 4 5 0 6 0 7 8 9 2 0 3 4 0.
And as you can hear in that one, GO6 is a little messed up. It's got pauses, it's got numbers too quickly next to each other, it's falling over itself all the time. It's a bit of a messed up transmission. But not much to say on that one. It's just a bad broadcast.
Right, so okay. In that case, it was you and Toto, but Toto has timed out. The EO6 screw up on Thursday the 6th of March.
Okay, I remember being here for this, but so much has happened. It's been such a week. There's been so many things going on with so many stations, I cannot specifically remember. I'm actually going to have to take a listen to this one briefly. Okay, in that case, I've listened to the EO6 now. I remember what's going on. It was just a general screw-up, so I'm going to cover both EO6s. The EO6 screw-up I've just listened to, and the pirate broadcast we had last night, which, for the record, me and Sync think it was R6 MCO having a laugh.
Hello.
He is in Netherlands, and he's got access to some good equipment.
Yep. And he's got that kind of sense of humour as well.
Yeah, was he here last night too?
Yeah, totally.
Ah, right, yeah.
Now, this one went on for quite a while, and it was very odd with this fading out and then fading back in again, stopping, starting, just being generally odd. Considering both GO6 and EO6 have messed up on their transmissions recently, that leads to some interesting questions for E907B, and whether it's just a test transmission, which Toto's pretty sure of. Enigma 2000 don't think so, but who knows. Considering we've had these two mess ups on the 06 stations, it's a possibility that they're testing a new transmitter. Anyway, so the second one with EO6, which is interesting, is we had a pirate transmission over it last night. So let me bring up the blog post about this. Yes, so the 9:30 broadcast of EO6 on the 7th of March, we had someone broadcast this short sample from Police Academy, which I'll play for you now. Now, obviously, that didn't come from EO6. This was played a couple of times. It was played during a test transmission at 7:45. It was played at just before the start call-up and after the EO6 transmission. So, yeah, we've got a pirate trolling us. I'm willing to bet the person was in the IRC at the time. They were looking at us all listening to the EO6, waiting for the test transmission to come up, knowing it would, and was ready with some nice broadcasting gear in the right location to go, let's have a laugh with the Preon boys, and they broadcast that. So, yeah, we've been trolled online. Woohoo. I suppose we must be getting popular or something if we've been trolled online, lads.
And we have our suspicions.
Yeah, we do have some suspicions who we think it might be. Right, back to the script, what we've got next. E25 having problems. Grasp, do you want to do this one?
Yeah, basically, I can't remember the date off the top of my head. I should have really brought the page up, but I caught E25 recently. I think it was 1:15. So it was on its daytime frequency of 9450. It started as a normal broadcast. Carrier was up, said a few numbers. Then the carrier turned off. And for the next 3 or 4 minutes, the carrier was up and down and up and down, on and off. And then it finally came back, played the music, its intro music, turned back off, came back on a minute later, and the intro music, as if it was on a cassette tape, the intro music played in full, in reverse, like it was being rewound. The message then continued as normal. But that was the really funny thing, was hearing the song backwards, and I'll play a clip of that here.
Say, if you want a surprise, you listen to E25, because you know you're going to be surprised.
Yeah, I always call it the idiot station. It's so badly run, you hear noises on it all the time, but for the song to rewind, that's just ridiculous. But yeah, that was all for E25.
So there's Toto and his check station stuff.
Oh yeah, that's well worth talking about. Well, worth mentioning anyway, I don't know much about it.
And there's the origins of the PIP article that Peter put up, which is worth talking about.
As for the Czech MOI, is that the Czech number station OLX was known to send QSLs, a very unusual thing for an AMPA station, and had an ITU registered call sign. And Toto has written to the Czech Ministry of Interior with a few audio samples of it and a picture of Simon Mazin's QSL card from his website. And he received a response that this was indeed run by the Czech Foreign Intelligence Agency.
Yeah, we've got the email that he sent and the response published on the Prion blog, so if you're interested, go check it out there. But it's a very rare thing. Intelligence services almost never, ever admit what they've done, and their secrecy files can go back almost hundreds of years. There's still stuff from World War II that's unreleased in the UK, and there's all kinds of information that will never, ever be released, no matter how far time goes, as far as it's determined now. I mean, who knows what will happen in the future. But for a foreign agency to admit that their own intelligence service was running a certation or even broadcasting at all, and that's what they actually say in their response, it was shortwave broadcasting into foreign countries, which was being conducted by the Office for Foreign Relations and Information. So to have an admission is very, very rare. I can't see the British government ever doing that.
By the way, I remember Ari bringing up in Nubs and Oddities an old document from the 70s with instructions to a Polish agent about a shortwave transmission that starts with a piece of music played from a music box. And there was a schedule, and one of the frequencies was used by Swedish Rhapsody, and that pretty much confirms that Swedish Rhapsody indeed hail from Poland.
Ah, very interesting. I didn't know that. Okay, one last thing I think we'll mention in the podcast before we wrap up is the origins of the PIP by a former radio technician, which Peter SPB has kindly translated for us. Peter, do you want to talk about this?
Yeah, actually, that is quite old information, because the guy was serving his military service on that station as a mine technician back in 86, 88. So that is almost 30 years old information, but the people itself and the system didn't change so much. So the information seems to be relevant in many cases. So. But anyway, it was very interesting to get to know that people, that person, and he's a very friendly guy, and he was willing to tell us more about the origin of that.
Yep, and you can read all about it in our blog. Peter translated the original Russian text for us, and I've cleaned up the English, made it a bit more easy to read. But it's a very interesting document, and as Peter says, some of it's probably still relevant now. There's even an electronics diagram included showing how the first original PIP was constructed and how the modern one probably still works.
Actually, that generator compiled by that guy himself, that is the second version. The first version was done from scratch and was very, very simple. That is a little bit improved version, let's say that way. Maybe version is still functioning on some centers.
Yep, it wouldn't surprise me. Okay, I think that's gonna wrap it up for the podcast tonight. So, thank you for listening, everybody. I'm sure you found this one to be a really interesting and informative podcast. I've certainly really enjoyed it myself, and having Peter here has taught us a lot about the Russian military stations in general. It's very nice to have someone with such experience. So, thank you very much for coming along tonight, Peter. We've really appreciated your contribution.
Thank you, guys, for the listening, and welcome again.
Okay, I think that's good night from us. Say good night, everybody.
Доброй ночи.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Good night, Shortwave fans. See you in the next episode.
Live with a box inside my hand. I'm the leader of the show, keeping you